Hey everyone, welcome back to Gateway Episodes. If you're kind of seeing this in your feed and you were not expecting it, this is because this is a special bonus episode that we are doing as part of our month here in May on what we're calling 8-Bit Cinema, where across all of our shows here on the Undercast Company, we're talking about video game adaptations. Obviously, other shows which are about movies, so mostly we're talking about movies, but in this case, we're getting to talk about some video game films. Or some video game TV shows, I should say. Specifically, Castlevania. And Alan, who is my co-host there on Underrated, is my guest today here on Gateway Episodes, and he suggested this to me. How's it going, Alan?
Hey, how's it going, man? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you on. This was actually your idea to do a bonus episode for this as part of 8-Bit Cinema, and you know, at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I have time, but I was like, you know what, fuck it, let's do it. This is a really cool idea. So I'm really excited for this because it's gonna, you know, A, give me a chance to talk about the show, and B, just kind of we'll probably talk about like video game TV show adaptations, how they're a little bit different than movies. But first, I should just start off and say, anybody who's not hasn't really listened to the show before. The premise is that basically someone will come in with a TV show and say, hey, you got to get into the show, watch this episode. It's a really good gateway episode to get you into whatever show we are talking about. And the episode that Alan picked for me was the season one episode four, Monument of Castlevania. So I wasn't really familiar with Castlevania. I know a little bit about the games. I never played them. I was definitely not familiar with the show, the Netflix show. I didn't know this was actually even the final episode of the first season until I looked at it today and realized how short it was. But Alan, what made you... Because there are obviously a lot of video game TV shows we could talk about. Why was this the one that you're like, all right, let's talk about this one?
Honestly, it's really fucking good. I know probably every guest comes in and says that, but it's one of those like video game adaptations that's rare that is just really done so well. And I think we think like, oh, we should do it live action, we should do it big and everything, but sometimes, especially now, I feel like we're like in a golden age of television, especially with streaming and with animation, especially anime being kind of like a big deal nowadays. It was just a good cocktail of like everything mixed together, you know, an iconic video game series. For those who don't know, Castlevania came out on the NES back in the 80s, and it's a pretty simple story. Just a vampire killer going up into Dracula's castle and running into, you know, the classic monster movie monsters that you see, you know, like Frankenstein and bats and skeletons and Halloween spooky shit, and then you're supposed to defeat Dracula. Very simple narrative, right? But with the show, they were able to take all these simple things. I mean, this one's strictly based on Castlevania 3, which is a prequel to the first Castlevania game. So it was kind of cool that they started there because they're like, all right, let's start like in the very, very beginning. And it's the same thing. It's all the only difference with this, with Castlevania 3, is just 100 years before the events of Castlevania 1, another Belmont went and killed... One has to go kill Dracula because Dracula's army is going to kill everybody. And, you know, they added a little bit more lore and you're like, okay, cool. But with that one, they had more characters that you were able to play as. That one, you know, you had Alucard, you had Sypha, and then I think there was like a pirate character or something. I haven't played Castlevania 3 in a very long time. But I have been replaying them, so I'm going to get to it. I was playing Castlevania 4. And the first Castlevania, and spoilers, they're fucking hard, so...
That's what I hear.
Yeah, they are hard as hell, harder than I remember, but...
I played Metroid, which I know are kind of similar in play style, and yeah, that's also pretty difficult.
Metroid is hard as fuck, yeah. I think it's funny, because they kind of created a whole genre called Metroidvania, mm-hmm. which is combining both play styles. But anyways, yeah, so I picked this one just because I felt like they took a very simple concept of just a vampire killer, and they made it into this whole grand like epic. Like, it could have easily just been two seasons and it would have been great, and they did extend it to four seasons, which, you know what, I couldn't complain. The third season, to be honest, slows down a little bit, but then picks right back up at the end and gets really weird and cosmic and just out there. But the whole series, I'm glad they ended at the fourth season. Even the creator was like, hey, that's all the story I wanted to tell. I didn't want to go any further. And I was like, cool, I like it.
Nice. And so that's good. Because it's just adapting 3, right? It doesn't go into any other games?
Yeah, mainly just 3. I think maybe it takes elements from other games, and I think maybe it creates something new around the end, because I feel like the first 2 seasons really adapt 3 pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they could have just ended it there, but they were like, you know what, we have more story to tell. But yeah, like it's just great that they kind of were able to flesh out these characters as well, because yeah, you play as Trevor or Simon or whatever, Richter Belmont, and you kind of just don't really get much in the beginning. You're just, hey, you're a vampire killer and that's all you got to do. And this one, they kind of, you know, they gave you more story for Trevor. They gave you more story for Sypha. And then, you know, the fan favorite Alucard, you get a lot of him, which I'm pretty sure a lot of fans, you know, they're big fans of him from Symphony of the Night. So, and it's just well animated. I can't remember the animation studio, but they've been working on a lot of Netflix properties, and they've just been knocking it out of the park from what I hear. And Castlevania is definitely one of them. But yeah, just in video game adaptation wise, it just kicks ass. Like, it just does such a well job. And yeah, man, I want to hear what you thought of the episode.
Yeah, I dug it, you know, and, you know, you mentioned Alucard, and that's a name that I'd heard before. I knew Simon Belmont and, like, his whip, so I didn't know that much going in, but, yeah, I dug this for sure. It was very, very breakneck. Like, I feel like the pacing of the show was, like, so constantly moving. They're like, okay, we've got these demons are attacked. Like, it starts with that really cool cold open in the church where the demons are like, we love you and stuff, and that was creepy. And then he's like, okay, villagers, like, oh, these villagers are attacking me. Oh, well, this, fuck this guy, kill him. All right, now villagers, you're on my side. All right, now we're gonna fight these things off. Now we're falling through the thing. Okay, now we're, like, teaming up with the Alucard, and we're gonna fight him. But no, actually, he's Dracula, and now he's, like, it was just going and going and going. And the pacing reminded me a lot of, did you ever watch, not the Clone Wars, but just Clone Wars, like Star Wars colon Clone Wars, like the
Genndy yes. Tartakovsky's one. Yeah, I love that one, the 5-minute episodes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it, so it had that same kind of, like, frenetic, just like constantly going pace that I appreciated, where it just felt like there was not any fat on this, you know. Even when they were talking, it was like, okay, like, it was, they were very much character motivations and stuff, or just like setting up some action that was about to happen. They never really stop and weigh anything down too much. And I like that this episode ended with, like, okay, here's this guy Alucard, who's obviously, you know, gonna be very, very important, and it kind of ends with them, like, all three walking really cool. I didn't know at the time that it was the end of the season, but that makes a lot of sense. One thing about it that I was not expecting that I really dug was that how much it touched on, like, religion. I was like, that's interesting, you know. I was not expecting this thing based on a video game from the 80s to, you know, be like, have all that they're talking about, like, oh, this guy's like Jesus and there's this stuff in the church. And I was, that caught me really off guard, but I thought that was an interesting kind of little aspect or wrinkle. I don't know if that was in the games at all. Is that a big thing in the games?
Not really. It's kind of like, because there's crosses and stuff, and, like, you know, there's, like, sometimes there's, like, you know, death incarnate, and then death incarnate for some reason works for Dracula, and then sometimes there's, like, satanic characters, but they don't really, like, dive heavily. Maybe in the later games, and like the 3D era kind of games, I kind of stuck to the classic style.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was one of the big things that was hard to decide for what episode, because I was kind of going to do the first episode of the second season, or even the first episode of this season. But I was like, the thing is, this episode is very fast and, like, breakneck, like you said, but it gets a lot of the point across.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to someone, you know, because when you asked me to pick episodes for your show, I'm like, again, I take it so, like, how much badass can you see? How much story can be explained? How much character development and like introduction can be told in like a really quick episode to hook somebody? And I was like, all right, this is the best one. But the previous three episodes really go into the religious aspect of it. And, you know, that as you know, the eternal fight of like science and religion, which one's correct and all that stuff, they really delve into. So I had to pick this one because I was like, I don't want it to jump too into the religious part, because I feel like that's kind of the meat of the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, people who believe in God, you know, do all these heinous things. And it's like these demonic creatures are just doing things because they're being told to by Dracula. And it's kind of like, who he himself is like a huge scientist, even though he's like a supernatural character. And even he really delves into like religion as well. One of the things, I mean, that kind of kickstarts the whole show is the whole like, I don't know if there's parts of the episode where they go, well, she was a witch, she was a fucking witch, mm-hmm. and all these things. And, you know, they're kind of blaming the people of Wallachia are calling Dracula's wife a, you know, a little bit of spoiler, just kind of to give you a little bit more information on it. Mm-hmm. His wife is just like, she was just like a medical woman, a scientist, and like, she kind of was actually able to, you know, get into Dracula's heart. Like, he fell in love with her because she was smart, she was intelligent, she wasn't like over religious and just going, oh my god, you're a monster kind of thing. Like, she's like, every creature on this planet, you know, you need to learn from them, or you gotta talk to them and, you know, just be open about it. And that's what, another big thing about the show is that it really kind of tells the audience like, hey man, like, if this shit was happening, you know, 1,000 years ago, and even Dracula is the most open person, then there's something to tell you about religion a bit, you know?
It's really, I thought that was all really cool, you know, that, like I said, that cold open where they kind of have the monsters and they're like, you did this, that really, you know, intrigued me and made me like, okay, I'm going to have to find out more about this. But, and the episode gave me a lot of exposition, but never in a way that felt bogged down, and just really good action too. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, saying all the stuff I said before, but I think it bears repeating, because I think that that's an advantage of having this be an animated show, is that you can do all these different things, you know, and that's my favorite kind of, like, it's not technically anime, I guess, like, you know, people can debate it, you know, but it definitely is very, Warren Ellis's animation here is very anime influenced, and it reminds me a lot of my favorite anime, because stuff like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, because it's still like elevated, like action, and there are people doing magical powers, but there's still limits, there's still rules. You can't just be like, okay, well, now we're going up to this power, like, there's, you know, there's not like the unlimited power creep. It's like, now we're just gonna do this, and oh my god, he's going to another level we never saw before, you know. It was just like, okay, people are badasses and they're doing stuff, but you can still, like, Alucard can still get stabbed, you know, this guy can still get die, and I really appreciated that. And overall, I think that's why, one of the main reasons why up until recently, TV adaptations of video game films have had so much more success than films, is because TV ones tend to be animated much more than the films, which tend to be live action, for the most part. And I think you can do so much more stuff with animation that is big and fantastical that you would also be able to see in a video game. You know, you get to see all these crazy flips and things, you know, doing all these powers and using whips in these cool ways that you just wouldn't be able to shoot up until very recently, with the advent of, like, CGI becoming what it is. And so, you know, I've been watching for this series so many movies and even shows, and some of the early ones, I'm like, okay, like, this is kind of rough. You're not really able to replicate it. And an example I'll give is, you know, the Mortal Kombat movies, which, you know, the 90s Mortal Kombat movies have their charm and they're fun and they're cheesy, but, you know, you can't really replicate, you know, all of the insane things that you could do in a Mortal Kombat game. You can to an extent, but there's so many limits. And there wasn't really those limits in the new Mortal Kombat. And to bring that back to TV, you know, those limits aren't the case in animation. That's why you have TV shows like Pokemon and Sonic the Hedgehog and Mega Man, all like cartoons from the 90s that I was so, so into, and they're all based on video games, and all those shows were so much cooler than, you know, any live action, at least for me, any live action video game movies that were coming out. And only now are we getting a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, you know, this with the one that just came out then a couple of years ago, that is on that same level of the Sonic games that we got, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think animation, because like you kind of have like, I mean, you don't have a necessary unlimited budget, but like imagination wise, you kind of do. Like you can really do whatever you want, like to an extent. It's kind of how people say, you know, comics, you really pretty much have an unlimited budget. And I feel like animation's kind of the right behind it, because yeah, you need a budget to get good animators, and you need, you know, a budget to get good voice actors, etc. But I feel like graphics or special effects CGI wise, you're kind of just like, all right, how big can we go in the animation thing? Like this episode is like fast, it's going, like all the creature designs look great, you know, they're trying to go with like a realistic kind of approach with like anime, and I can tell they're trying to make the characters look like I know in like the PS1 era of Castlevania, that like a lot of the covers look like paintings. And there's a couple Easter eggs like that throughout the show, where you see like paintings of Dracula and his wife and Alucard, where they look very, just, they look like classical paintings, like, you know, Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci kind of thing, but vampires kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I like that they were trying to go for something like that. And again, like they just, this episode, I'm really happy you saw this one, because there's other episodes that really kind of delve into even more badassery and more big special effects and more fighting, and like it gets way bigger. Like it, like this episode is very small scale compared to the rest of the show, where they really go ham and like it feels like an epic kind of animated series.
Yeah, but, I got that epic feeling for sure.
Oh yeah, but one thing too that I knew you were gonna like is that there is no power creep. You get what you get. That's one of the nice parts about it. You know, Sypha, she kind of does learn a little bit more of her powers, but it's more like in the capabilities of what she can do. Like, it's not like she goes, oh my God, I learned how to do this new thing. She kind of goes, okay, oh, I can do this with my ice, or I can do this with my fire. It's more like the characters really use their wit compared to them.
That's
just
character,
like,
development, you know, that's something like when people like learn their abilities and become more confident in them, that's different than, you know, power creep, in my opinion, which is just like, oh no, well, what do we just need to know, go to another Saiyan level, it's fine, we to beat this guy, you know. But this is, I feel like, something different.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I think that's actually one of my favorite parts of it, because there's just times where you're like, holy shit, are they gonna make it? Like, what can they do, you know? Yeah, a little further down in the second season, you know, Trevor gets the iconic Morningstar whip, but it's not really like going to give him powers or anything. It's just a stronger whip. It's just, you know, something from the game. So people are like, oh, cool, it's the Morningstar. Sweet. But yeah, that's it. You know, Alucard doesn't go Super Saiyan or get a new transformation. He's like, I am what I am, you know, and he does as much as he can, especially compared to like in Castlevania, Dracula's like just overly powered as fuck. Like, he's just like one of the strongest Draculas you'll ever see in media kind of thing. Like, he throws like mini comets at you and shit, you know, total old school RPG where they just go fucking ham on the boss characters.
Yeah.
So it's really cool seeing them having to thwart him when he has these like godlike powers, where they're like, okay, I got a whip, she can do fire and ice, and this guy's sword floats around. Cool. What do we got?
Yeah. Yeah, and that was cool. It was, you know, that cool team up they have at the end was I thought really interesting. It's like, okay, we've got all these different guys, and that's always good when it's like, okay, you know that there's this ultimate bad guy, and you got to get a team up. You got to get like the fellowship together or whatever, you know. And I think it lends itself well to like the games, like you said. You're like, oh, you can choose all these different characters, so it is able to give you like a vast amount of characters to choose from, and that's another thing that I think is another reason why, once again, video game TV shows have an easier time than movies, is because with so many video games, there are so many characters that you have to introduce and get to. And with, you know, whether or not they be NPCs and supporting characters or whatever, a lot of those get cut out and you just have to focus on, you know, whatever the main guy is in a movie. But with a game, you're like, okay, or with a show, you're like, okay, we have this much more time. We can have an episode devoted to this person. We can have an episode where this person shows up, and we can have a lot more time to tell this story, even if it is in these like little chunks, which I do also appreciate that these are in very bite-sized, like 20-minute pieces. And then they're part of a longer thing, and that it's also ended. It's not. I always like when a show has an end and tells a complete story, and then it's done. So I didn't know that was the case. I didn't know it was over until you told me right now on the podcast, and I was like, okay, now I'm even more hyped up to go into this. But yeah, like I was saying, this is so the games work so well on the TV medium, and going back even to something like, you know, Carmen Sandiego, it was like, okay, well, Carmen's got this case and we're telling it this week, you know, like it's a game show, but it's still a really good adaptation of those games. It's like, okay, because that game was all about like, okay, you've got all these different missions, and the TV shows can replicate that same, like, okay, we've got to go on this level now. Like games are all about, you know, especially ones on the old NES, it's like, here's a level and then you complete it and you can move on to the next level. And you can kind of do that with TV episodes, you know. Would you think that's a fair assessment?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Television is probably a way better medium to adapt it, because like you said, it's levels. You beat one level, you go to the next one. Hey, you watch these two episodes that kind of did this arc, well, here's the next one, or they're going in this dungeon, or it's pretty much exactly like you said.
Yeah. So I'm definitely, you know, excited for this. I am going to be stepping through the gateway. Interestingly, I was like thinking like, okay, well, you know, part of the reason why on the show for season two, I'm going to be doing my season two on miniseries is because, all right, well, I don't want to get so much into a show that's going to take forever. Like I always talk about how, like, I'm interested in the Next Generation, but you know, it's like, I don't know, like it's like 600 episodes or something like that. And I'm like, and they're each an hour long. It's like, I can't devote that much time to it, but much like the miniseries. Yeah. But much like the miniseries, which are, you know, just like one season of however many episodes, this is only four seasons, and season one is four episodes, then it's eight episodes, then it's 10 and 10, and they're all pretty short, so it's not that much of a time commitment, but it's still enough to keep me invested and to keep me like, okay, I'll watch a few episodes and I can come back to it. So it is kind of the best of both worlds when it comes to, you know, not wanting to, being able to devote yourself to a TV show, but not being so sucked in forever.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I was gonna say, if anybody on your show goes, hey, I got a show for you, you gotta watch One Piece, fuck that. No, tell them, hey man, I ain't fucking doing that, because it's like, let me show you one intro episode. Okay, cool, you're gonna walk through the gateway? Yeah, you got 1,000 episodes to watch. Like, I'm not lying. It's like 1,000 episodes or more, so... I feel you on that. Lately, I've been more on the like, hey, let's have a completed series or a shorter series, because I don't know if I can go that long, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I will be very interested to see, you know, where this goes. And I'm, you know, it's kind of made me almost want to play the games. So I feel like that's a success on all levels, you know, like if you are interested. I am now kind of interested in this lore, and I'm like, okay, this is really cool. I kind of want to get into, you know, these video games more now, because the source material for this has to be pretty cool if this is this cool.
It really is. I mean, they are pretty hard, and you know, they're not very that big story driven, you know, especially the NES ones. I think the second one tried to a little bit, but the second one, Simon's Quest, isn't really a favorite of people other than the music. But I think in the later games, like the PS1 era games and on, they really try and expand the lore, and they really try and give you as much as they can. So, you know, I would recommend, you know, Symphony of the Night, which is a huge fan favorite game, where you play as Alucard. So you even get that as well. You get a little bit of a change of, instead of playing a Belmont, you get to play as Alucard. And if not, you know, you got Castlevania Rondo of Blood, which I think that one is Richter Belmont, which is a later iteration. And for anybody out there who's interested in Castlevania, they are, of course, inevitably, when a show gets successful, they do want to make a spinoff of it, which is going to be about Richter Belmont. So for anybody out there who gets into this show and goes, I want more, because I won't lie, I did end on a really good note. and it did end on the best possible note of you going, fuck, I really want more. But you're like, it's okay. You got to live with it. Netflix was like, hey, we want to do a spinoff, because I think even they realized, hey, these characters, they're iconic already on their own. Let's not fuck with them anymore. And let's focus on another character. I'm hoping they go like Avatar, Legend of Korra kind of way, where that's like,
It's hard.
I'm hoping that's do what they can
it, yeah,
do.
Yeah, do it, you know, one of the, do it like based on Castlevania 1, you know, so. Because I love Korra, you know, that's, I fucking love when they do that shit, so. And whenever I'm like, you know, whenever you make another series after something is ended, like, every once in a while, people will talk about, oh, like, what if we made more Lost, like a lot, quote-unquote Lost 2, and I was like, I would only be interested in it is if you didn't bring back any of the characters from the first Lost, if it was completely a new story, and it was, you know, like, that kind of thing. That's why I think shows like Cobra Kai or Girl Meets World are really interesting, because they are continuations with the kind of quote-unquote next generation.
Oh yeah, like sometimes, yeah, I would like my characters, but it's kind of, it's so hard to do, especially with American audiences, because American audiences get so in their feelings about their characters. Yeah. So I'm hoping they do a good job with this one, because I mean, it's pretty much, you know, like you said, it's you know, Girl Meets World, you know, even Power Rangers is like a big thing of it in the beginning. Power Rangers was like, holy shit, it's these six characters that everybody loves, and they're like, we're gonna go with Zeo, and everybody was like, what the fuck, there's only some of the original characters and the powers are different, the costumes are different, what is this kind of thing. So, but I think Power Rangers is doing just fine, so I think they're okay.
I think they're doing all right, still going strong, you know, all these years later. Well, there was just, you know, obviously, you know, we talked a lot about Castlevania, and it's cool. There's a lot of video, you know, game stuff having a renaissance right now. Obviously, there's the Halo show, which is kind of weird. I don't know if you have any, if you have your feelings about that. But I was just going to ask you, do you have any other video game shows that are one of your favorites?
Video game shows that are my favorites. That's kind of, I'm trying to think, because like this was the first one that just popped into my head when we were talking about the series. So. The 8-bit cinema series. So I'm trying to think, I don't know, because like I was kind of interested in Halo. I'm not like a big Halo guy. Like I played Halo 3 and that was fun and stuff, but I know right now there's like controversy with the show, because I think they showed Master Chief's face, and that's like a big no-no.
He won't put his helmet back on, and it's kind of pissing me off. It's like Judge Dredd, you know, it's like, put the fucking helmet
really?
On. Yeah, it's like, but I watched the first two episodes, and I'm just like, he takes it off at the end of the first episode. I'm like, okay, I get the point you're making, but now put it back on. And he just leaves it off for like extended periods of time. And I'm just like, dude, I don't know. There's other problems I have with the show. I really hope they, in upcoming episodes, they lean. I like how they touch on the kind of like, hey, maybe some of these fascist ideas that are in Halo that are like present with the good guys are actually pretty bad. But I feel like they're handling it in a very clunky, like, Master Chief just wants to be a real boy and have emotions again. And the character arc is just, his character arc is like, oh, well, he wants to not murder children. And, but he's like, maybe like learning to obey his, what do you call him? Like superiors, if they give him a horrible messed up order, but then you see a flashback where he had also done that in the past. I'm like, so he's not having any character. I want to see like them kind of comment more on the religious zealotry being a bad thing, which was a big thing in the games, and how the Covenant were kind of all these like parrot fanatics and stuff like that. So maybe that will be touched on more in future episodes. I don't know, but sorry to derail you there, but yeah, Halo. I'm still giving it a chance. We'll see where it goes.
Oh yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean,
have you seen Arcane?
I was about to say that. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah. I saw the first three episodes. I kind of want to go back and finish it, because like that animation is stunning, but it was so fucking slow. Like I watched like an episode a night, and one week I think I got through three episodes, and every time I fell asleep, like every time, and like I would be right at the end, and I'd knock. It was a great show to fall asleep to, but. I want to give it another try, because, you know, I've asked other people, you know, especially because I work with video games kind of thing. So everyone's like, dude, you got to watch it. It's so good. And I'm like, oh, I hope it's better than those first three episodes. But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other ones.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I kind of grew up watching, you know, I watched Sonic and the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and all that, but they're not like, oh my god, you know, they're just kind of, you know, Mega Man.
I mean, it's iconic, you know? Mega Man was a big one for me.
Oh yeah, I loved watching, I think there was like Mega Man Anti-Warrior. I watched that.
I was about to say, I was all about fucking Anti-Warrior. That shit was so goddamn good.
It was really good, yeah. It got my buddy into the games, and like he still brings it up. He's like, they need to make another Anti-Warrior game. What the fuck? He's always like, you know, shouting at the sky and shit about it. I really did like, when I was young, I saw, when I was getting into anime, when I was like 12 years old, there was like the Street Fighter 2 the movie, which was like an animated movie, but like it was really well animated, and it was like more accurate to the games compared to the Jean-Claude Van Damme one, which I do love that one as well a lot. And then there's like the Darkstalker OVA.
Richard Ramirez, the game.
My favorite video game of all time, Richard Ramirez, Nightstalker. Nightstalker's Revenge. Yeah, Darkstalker, the OVAs, and, you know, it's based on a old fighting game from Capcom as well. It came out during, like, the Street Fighter II era in the 90s when fighting games were super big, and you know, it's kind of like Street Fighter, but instead of, like, world warriors, they're, like, monsters, you know. It's, I guess, to tie into the little horror again back into Castlevania, you know, there's, like, a succubus, Morgan. She's, like, one of my favorite characters of all time. There's vampires, there's a Frankenstein's monster, a werewolf, even a little Red Riding Hood character. And they have their own OVAs about it, which is gorgeously animated as well. Like, 90s anime, just, they fucking hit it right out of the field, man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess those, you know, I do want to rewatch those again. So I don't know. I feel like I like the movie anime adaptations a little bit more, because they were just super. Because, I mean, with fighting games, you don't really have much story. You're just like, hey, I'm going to go fight that guy. Cool, sounds good. You're going to fight all these fuckers on the way. And that's it. That's all it really is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, one show, and I don't know how it's held up, but I remember loving it as a kid, was the fucking Donkey Kong show, the CGI Donkey Kong Country show.
Oh, my God, dude, I forgot about that. Right? You just brought me back. Holy crap.
Like, that was fucking legit. And then speaking of Halo... I don't know if you remember, but they, right when Halo 4 came out, they made like a web show, like a web miniseries called Halo 4 Forward into Dawn. And that was fucking great. Like, that was honestly so much better than the Halo show that they're doing now. Like, not to throw any shade, but it was fucking incredible. Like, and I was like, I like the Halo games a lot. I played them a lot. But the story I was never like too big on. But I was like, okay, it ended in 3. Why are they making another one? But then Forward into Dawn came out, and it was... The way they, like, it was shot, they used the budget really smartly. Like, obviously, the new Halo show has such a bigger budget, but it looks kind of bad at some points. And this, they shot around everything. Like, it was almost shot like an early horror movie, where when you see, like, oh my god, like, there's a fucking elite here, and you just see a beam sword, and it's fucking terrifying. And when you do see Master Chief, it's not just some guy who just shows up and takes his helmet off right away. He's like fucking legend. Like, people have been like, oh my god, the Master Chief. When he finally shows up, it's like, boom, the hero shot. Like, this guy is here to fucking fight this monster. It was really well done. It's pretty short. It's a web series, but, you know, it's only, like, they're like 15 minutes long each, and they're only like 5 parts, so you can knock it out pretty quickly. So that was one that I thought was really cool. I like a lot of those tie-in ones, like the Alan Wake tie-in little prequel. There's another web series that's an Alan Wake one that's really cool. It's called Bright Falls. It's very Twin Peaks-esque. So a lot of I know there was a Mortal Kombat web series. So a lot of those web series are pretty good, I feel like.
Yeah, I think in the early 2010s, there was like a lot of video game web series, like you said, because I remember that Mortal Kombat when I was watching that one, which is so funny because they had like they adapted the game so well. And then when this new one came out, I was kind of like, wow, the web series really got a lot, like, was really ahead of its time, like, compared to this one. And I remember there was a Street Fighter one too. That one was okay. But yeah, and then I remember there was some animated ones, like you said, for Alan Wake. Like, there was like a prequel tie-in. Like, they had a Dead Space animated one. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but a Dead Space show would be really cool too. Mm. And then I think there was a Dante's Inferno, which I remember that one was badass. Like, you could just watch the movie. Like, I don't even... You could probably play the game, but, like, that animated movie is fucking badass. Like,
yeah.
It just... Holy shit.
Well, I read the book.
Spoilers.
There's a pretty good tie-in novel some guy named Dante Alighieri wrote.
Oh, yeah. It's part of, like, a trilogy or something. Yeah. Like, a comedy trilogy.
It's a good one. It's like a comedy. That. It's very funny.
Yeah. Super hilarious. Existential. But, yeah. There's, like, poetry. There's a poet. Right?
Virgil, but,
Virgil the poet. The movie's pretty cool. Like, if there's an adaptation of a video game movie that adapted a fucking old ass book, that Dante's Inferno's pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. All right, cool, man. Well, thank you for coming on and recommending this to me and, you know, chatting with me about this other side of video game adaptations. I've been really itching to talk about TV shows with video games because we're not getting a chance to on any of our other shows. So this was really fun. But just to give any listeners out there a little bit of context for what we're talking about with this 8-bit cinema, it's something we're doing for us. Me and Alan, we're along with our friend Ariel, are part of the Undercast company. And we do a few shows. This one, which had, you know, been a hiatus, that's where you get the bonus episode. I'm going to be coming back to be doing this one in season 2. We're going to be talking about miniseries. I've got half of those episodes recorded and edited. I'm still got, because it's going to be 8 episodes, 4 left to do. Once we hit 10 patrons on our Patreon, we'll start to release those. The first episode's up for anybody who is a patron for season 2. If you want to listen to that, go ahead. Then, you know, there's a little as a dollar a month you can donate and get to listen to that and all of our other stuff on Patreon. And once we hit 10, we will go ahead and start releasing episodes week to week. But for the 8-bit cinema, we're also doing a bunch of stuff for our main show, Underrated. By now, our episode on Assassin's Creed would be out. Next week, we're going to be doing an episode on my pick, which is Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, which I'm very excited for. Then we've got Alan's pick, which is for now it's a mystery. It's going to be at the end of the month. And then anybody who's listening, we've got also Ariel's show, You've Never Seen. We did an episode on Street Fighter, so, you know, we haven't recorded that yet, but I'm sure it's going to be great, and you guys have already heard it. I'm sure you guys have listened to it, or if you haven't listened to it yet, it's out now, so go check it out. And then we're also going to be doing a tournament, so we'll be about on the ninth round, or the ninth matchup, I should say, where we're pitting up all the video game, the top 16 at the box office video game movies, taking out any of our picks that got here. Just one pick per franchise, though, have them go head-to-head. So, you know, number one pick, Sonic 2, going up against the number 16 pick, Max Payne, so on and so forth. So all those votes are going to be on our Instagram. So go ahead and go on Instagram every day this month leading up to the end of the tournament. We're going to be keep having the matchups. And then for any of our patrons, we're going to be talking about the one that wins that. So that's another. There's going to be another episode for Patreon coming out for if you are a patron or you want to sign up. You'll get to hear us talk about the fan vote winner. So that's all really exciting. And this has been your brainchild, Alan, this 8-bit theater. So I've been really diving into this. So thank you so much for coming up with all this and suggesting all this stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I do want to say one last thing about Castlevania.
Yes.
Well, two things actually, real fast. The one negative I will say about this show is one of my favorite things about classic video games from the NES era is a lot of them have banger ass music, gorgeous, badass 8-bit, 16-bit music, and the show unfortunately does not have all the great bangers that you hear from Castlevania, but it does lead into my second thing about it. I know this whole show is about asking what's the best episode to watch, so I gave you the best episode to watch to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're like, you know what, man, I kind of want to jump ahead, fuck what Alan says, I want to get to the good shit, I want to see the good stuff, I would really recommend first watching the show from the start because it's a great build-up. You really get involved with the characters and the story and everything. But one of my favorite episodes of television in general. It's Castlevania's second season, episode 7. Yeah, so episode 7. It's pretty much one of the best episodes of television I've seen. I think the episode's called For Love. And it's kind of like the big climax. There's an episode after it that kind of just wraps everything up. But that episode is like everything culminating to that fucking moment. And you do get at least one famous Castlevania song, and it is Bloody Tears. And it's pretty much one of the most iconic songs from the Castlevania series, next to Vampire Killer, which I'm very sad Vampire Killer isn't the intro for the show. But hey man, at least they get Bloody Tears, and it's a gorgeous episode, and that whole scene, just chef's kiss. 10 out of 10.
Fucking right, nice. I'm very excited to check it out and get into it. And you know, this is definitely a show I'm glad I can put on, watch. There's so much good TV right now. I will definitely make some time to get through this show, and luckily it's not too much of a commitment, and I can watch into these bite-sized chunks like we were saying, so I can't wait to get to that episode.
Season 2, episode 7. For everyone out there, enjoy it, love it, live it. You will love it.
And for everyone out there, thank you once again for listening. Let us know if you have any other video game, you know, TV shows that you love. You can email us at undercastcompany@gmail.com. Hit us up on any of our social media. We're at Undercast Company at Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. But thank you once again for listening, and I will see you guys all later.
Take it easy.